Hello and welcome into this episode of You Seem Interesting. I'm your host, Danny Rouye. Thank you. Thank you so much for letting us hang out on your cell phone. Just as a small little bit of data until the time when you say yes right now and you push play and listen to us. Going for a jog, a walk, hanging out in traffic, whatever it is that you're doing, we appreciate it. We like the cut of your jib around these parts. Patreon.com/FunnyDanny for the supporters and subscribers to the show. You guys get the first run and all the cool benefits. Plenty of tiers for you to check out there. If you're listening to us after the fact, that's cool too, bro. We appreciate you guys riding the good ship You Seem Interesting. That is Amazon Music, that's Google Play, that's Apple Pods, and all the cool places to be, Spotify as well. So give us likes, reviews, and all those other cool things at @interest_pod on Twitter and at You Seem Interesting on the Instagrams. This week's episode, it's about bagels, specifically the story of one particular bagel joint that is in the Washington, D.C. area where I live. Bit of background, my wife and I lived in New York for a handful of years and spent a lot of time up there, obviously, both for comedy and some other things. We lived on the Lower East Side of Manhattan, which is one of the most interesting, fascinating neighborhoods in the world. There are so many cultures crammed into sort of a, however many blocks it is, but like a really narrow confined space. The old tenements housing style that was there gave rise to everything from, you know, Dominican, Puerto Rican, Jewish culture. You've got Cubans, you've got regular yuppies, you've got, you know, awkward white dudes like me, everything under the sun. Russians were there that were just dozens and dozens of folks from all over the world kind of crammed into these small spaces. So the explosion of, first of all, everyone being together, but also food culture was awesome. And there was one thing that I couldn't find anywhere in the country as good as I'd found in my neighborhood there on the Lower East Side. Until I experienced Call Your Mother Deli. We'll tell you all about it. We'll talk to one of the founder and chef, Danny Marrero. She is my guest, and she's got a great story in her own right. But first, before we get to all that stuff, let's do the thing we always do around this time. What the strangest gimmick in all the podcast?
It is once again time for the strangest gimmick in all of podcasting. A moderately passable celebrity impression asking you for money.
All right, all right, all right. So here it is. First thing we're going to do, we're going to start talking on the podcast. Get you guys down to my ranch in Crawford, Texas. We're all going to hang out. It's going to be awesome. Get some barbecue. We'll start talking bagels, baby. So first thing you're going to do is go to patreon.com/funnydanny, man. I want to be my own hero. In 10 years, I look at myself backwards where I was, and my hero was me 12 years from now because I look up. I'm going to do different things. None of that made any sense. Matthew McConaughey out. Well, how about that? Well, Matthew McConaughey, that was awkward, so I apologize for that. Let's get to the good stuff, though. Bagels, what do we know? Here's what I found out. Approximately 212 million people in this country eat bagels. Pretty much 60% of living and working and breathing adults eat bagels, at least in some capacity, right? That's every single year, and those numbers are only going up because bagels are everywhere. They're ubiquitous. You don't just have to be within one neighborhood in New York to find some pretty good ones. I'm not talking about the great ones like we have here at Call Your Mother Deli in the D.C. area, but there are more and more. Approximately 212 million people last year ate bagels. 10 million bagels are sold each day in the United States. That's around It's around 3.65 billion bagels a year consumed in the United States of America. It's a lot of bagels. What started as kind of a sort of niche food that you could only find in certain places. Montreal is known for great ones. New York, obviously, the legend of the water and all those other kinds of things. San Francisco is supposed to be a good bagel city, but now it's more and more expansive. You'll find more good bagel establishments as kind of, you know, chefs and some of these artisan sort of food scenes that have developed in places like Austin or Charleston or otherwise. And DC is another place where it's a great incubator for great chef talent like my guest Danny Marrero, where they kind of figured out a way to not quite replicate the experience, but add their own twist to it. So what makes a good bagel? Okay, this is subject of much debate, and some people will tell you one thing or the other. I'm a believer in the following. A great bagel doesn't have to be toasted. Now, you could still toast it. That's your noble right as a citizen of the world. You can have your bagel toasted. My point is a bagel should be so good, and if it's fresh, it ends up being this way, where you don't have to toast it to get all the greatness. Outside, crusty, a little bit crisp, right? You're going to see some of those built-in air bubbles and pockets and dents. If it's very smooth, it means it probably doesn't have some of that locked-in flavor. inside should be chewy-ish, but not overly chewy. You don't want to sit there and work yourself into getting a TMJ lockjaw type situation because it's so chewy and rough on the inside. It's got to be flaky and crisp on the outside and a nice amount of chewiness and tenderness on the inside. And if the hole is too big, get your minds out of the gutter, people. It's probably not that high quality of a bagel either. You want 1.5, maybe 2 fingers to be able to slide down into that Bad Jackson. Think about it this way. If you take a bite of a bagel sandwich and cream cheese comes firing out of the backside, probably not that great of a bagel in terms of the integrity of the bagel itself. If you took a bite out of a burger, the burger bun or the burger patty wouldn't come shooting out like your Chevy Chase in Christmas Vacation going down the hill with his, with the cereal varnish down there on the bottom, right? You want that tenderness inside the bagel to sort of be able to hold its integrity as the crispness of the outside goes. I'm telling you, if you're not a bagel connoisseur, none of this is going to make any sense to you. But if you've eaten great bagels, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And speaking of great bagels, we've got to talk about Call Your Mother Deli here in D.C. They have several locations around town. Just go to callyourmotherdeli.com. Check out the About section. So husband and wife team, Daniela Morera and Andrew Dana, they also operate Timber Pizza Company. And that's kind of where they got their start together. And Andrew, this visionary dude, goes, I want a bagel joint. And Daniela, who is not Jewish, not from the United States, says, I've never eaten a bagel, dude. What are you talking about? But she is a chef. She's a highly trained chef, by the way. Super professional. She goes on a fact-finding mission and figures it out, and the rest is history. What they have done is incredible. They've got multiple locations, and I'm telling you, people, it's every bit as good as the bagels I had in New York City, in my neighborhood that was pretty much known for it. So without further ado, I bring on somebody, and they're a hero. They're heroes of mine for a number of reasons. One, they brought delicious bagels close to me where I live. Very selfishly, I love that because I love carbs and I love these bagels. But also some of the things that they've done both via the pandemic and the way they treat their employees, I think these are rock stars. And you'll be super impressed, as I've been, with Danny Ferreira. So enjoy my conversation. I'll be honest, I'm a little bit nervous talking to my guest this week. I think she and her husband are heroes. This is the Khaleesi of cream cheese, the Baroness of bagels, and I don't know what a word goes with pizza, but she does it all. Danny Morera is my guest. Danny, thank you so much for some time today. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. This is so fun.
I hope so. I hope it's okay. I hope it's relatively painless. Can you explain to me how someone who at one point was an au pair from Argentina has turned into the queen of bagels in Washington, D.C.? I love your story so much. Please go into it and tell everybody.
I don't know. I kind of forgot about my au pair days. I sort of miss cooking fish sticks every day. I studied culinary arts in Argentina, sort of by mistake. I didn't have a master plan. I just didn't want to go to college, and cooking school was 2 times a week. So that was enough for my dad. And I said, like, I'll work the other days, then make enough money and go travel the world and, you know, don't do anything. That was my plan. And I fell in love with cooking. And then all the jobs that I wanted to apply for, you had to know English. And I only knew how to say hello and a few children's songs. So the easiest way for me to come to America and learn English was this program, the Au Pair program. So I apply, and the first family that reached out to me was an awesome family from here, from DC, from Mount Pleasant, the Lack family. And, you know, we fell in love immediately. I came here to DC, took care of the 2 kids. Then by the time I left, they had 3 kids. And, you know, I had the time of my life. It was the best experience ever. But meanwhile, I kept, like, you know, staging at different restaurants. I went to a cooking school here in D.C. It's called Carlos Rosario. In Carlos Rosario, I got a scholarship to go to the CIA in Hyde Park, New York. The short story of how au pairs into cooking, and that's not what you asked me. You asked me how from au pair to bagels. I guess the bagel part comes with Andrew, my business partner and future husband. We opened Timber Pizza. I met him at the farmer's market here in DC. I fell in love with the wood-fired oven he had and all the fun he was having. He was blasting music, making pizzas. And here I was, this like super fancy chef that coming from working at Michelin stars. And I was like, you know what? That looks so much fun. So I went to his stand and I asked him for a job, part-time job. He say, sure, why not? Like, why do you want to work for us? Like, you have experience. Up until then, he told me only his friends work for him. And, you know, they didn't have any professional cooking experience. So they didn't know what they were doing. They were just having fun. So he hired me and started convincing me to be the executive chef for Timber. I kept saying, no, no, no. I have these bigger dreams, biggest, fanciest dreams. And finally, I stopped lying to myself. I say, I love pizza. I love this vibe. I love the music. I love it all. So I say yes.
Amazing. Again, I love it. So my wife and I, years ago, Danny, we lived in the Lower East Side of New York City. We were a couple hundred yards from Kosher's Bialy's, and you couldn't get the Bialy's or bagels on a Saturday because it was kosher, blessed by a rabbi. We were right in between that establishment and Russ and Daughters there on the Lower East Side, and right down the street from Katz's Delicatessen. So this food, I would never, ever in a million years think that you could get it outside of that, you know, 6 or 7 block square radius. And you've done it. How? How have you done it? Everyone else has failed. Everybody else that's tried to export this to somewhere else, and they've done something where they, you know, they get up at 2 a.m. and they have trucks deliver the bagels to different cities. Everyone has tried everything to replicate it. You make me feel like I'm back there when I go to call your mother. How have you guys done this? Share your secret and let's all be billionaires.
Well, first, thank you. I appreciate it. I think the biggest, like, you know, I'm not going to take credit for this, but like it's Andrew had the biggest part on this from like the idea of opening a deli. He came to me one day, he talked to our investor, he reached out to him, they met at Timber. He had these dreams of opening a traditional fancy Jewish deli. Andrew said, that idea sucks. It's not going to work out here in DC. But, you know, like, I would love to do something more like Timber. So he came to me that night and he's like, hey, do you want to open a Jewish deli? And I was like, A, you know, I'm not Jewish. B, I never had a bagel before. And I guess there's a C. I was like, I don't know anything about anything.
Right.
But I say, yes, come in. So then after saying yes, I was like, oh, no, what did I have done? So I had to do a lot of research and I had to tell him, I was like, Andrew, I don't know. Like, I know what I like. I don't know what a good bagel is supposed to taste like. I don't know what a pastrami sandwich is supposed to taste like. I'm from Argentina and I know the flavors that I like. So I will need your help. So I sort of like went blindly in this and started testing bagels. The first recipe I made, I still think that it was the best recipe ever. I was at Timber. We made it in the wood fire oven. I gave it to all the staff. That they're all from Latin America. And we all loved it. I was so excited because I think it was the first try. And I was like, yes, this was super easy.
I'm a genius. Yes.
I'm a genius. So Andrew comes and he's like, what is this? This is bread. This is bread with a hole. And I was like, what are you talking about? So like, you know, I had like after I think it took me 10 months to figure out what he was talking about. And we had so many fights because any bread, like the first thing he will do, he will open the bagel and smell it. I was like, what are you looking for? And he's like, the bagel smell from New York. And I was like, well, I have no idea what you're talking about. So I went into this rabbit hole on the internet, like the water, is it the flour, is it like it has to be in New York? I didn't know. So we went to New York. We went to all those bagel places that you mentioned. We had bagel ship from Montreal. I went to San Francisco, try all the bagels there. We went to Philly. We went pretty much everywhere. And then finally, I got that bagel smell that he was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, now we locked in the recipe and the rest is history.
And it's one of the great, it's like basically my getting married, my 2 sons being born, and then a Georgetown location for Call Your Mother are pretty much right up there for monumental occasions in my life. And you mentioned it. And again, you guys nailed it. But you also led me to I have a number of questions for you, Danny. But working with your then fiance and now husband, my wife and I were joking about this as I was, you know, explaining to, hey, I'm having you on and I'm super excited about it, et cetera. And we thought about it. We just kicked it around for a couple seconds. Could you imagine working with me? And the answer was no. Like, we barely make it as it is through all this stuff with pandemic and kids and all the pressure. I don't know how you do that. I think that may be your greatest accomplishment, is working with your spouse. You mentioned you guys had fights. How did you do that? I just think that's incredible.
Yeah, well, I'm in good terms with him today, so I'll say that is awesome.
Today. Right to
say. But, you know, if you hear other times of me, I'm like, well, this sucks. Is the best of the best, because, you know, we understand each other. This is a very, very hard industry. From, like, you know, when we opened Call Your Mother, we were closing Timber at 11. I was taking a half a minute nap, going back to Timber and baking, and Andrew was there next to me, supporting me, putting music, helping me pack bagels. And, like, you know, nobody else outside the bagel business or a baker will understand that. So I don't know, like, it's awesome because we get a constant support to each other about what we do. And then I guess, like, the worst part is, like, we never turn it off. So it's 8 p.m. we're watching TV, having a great time, and Andrew is like, hey, what if we do a cacio e pepe cream cheese? And I'm like, yeah. And then we started talking about business. I'm like, hey, what if we go open a location in Georgetown? And then all of a sudden, we're just talking about work 24/7, which is also very fun. But then when we fight, we really fight. It's like there's not, like, with other employees, you wouldn't, like, say everything out there. You, like, you know, you're more cautious, respectful even. And then with Andrew, it's like working with family too. It's like, I used to work with my siblings in Argentina, and, you know, like, I used to rip my brother's shirt sometime. I will get so mad at him. Mm-hmm. Or throw bananas at his head and all those things that you
normal
not,
stuff. Sure.
Yeah, that you're not supposed to do ever. You know, sometimes it's hard to keep yourself from doing it. I'm sorry, Andrew. I did throw a phone at him in the middle of service once.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So you mentioned your roots in Argentina. I love Argentinian cuisine. I'm a carnivore that loves carbs. I mean, just my wheelhouse. Everything from empanadas to, and forgive my awkward, dorky white guy pronunciation of things from your homeland, but everything from chimichurri to milanesa. I love Argentinian food. And yet here you are in America, pizza and bagels. Are there any, do you feel like Argentinian roots in your cooking, inspired by, you know, the wonderful food of your home? And now that you're here in DC cooking in Northern America, is it sort of something that you just kind of do on the side, or do you feel influences in what you make?
So, I mean, Argentina is huge on pizza as well, not bagels. But from where I'm from, and now it has changed a lot in the last 10 years that I haven't been there, you can get any ingredient as well. But mm-hmm. I grew up with, I think, 5 ingredients. A salad was lettuce, tomatoes, and onion, and then steak, and then pasta. And that was pretty much it. So, mm-hmm. like, I didn't have access to different spices, chilies. God forbid I will eat something spicy. I didn't have access to that. So that makes you be super creative on the ways that you use the few ingredients that you have. And I feel that translates to what we do here at Call Your Mother. It's like, if we are using it, like, we like to use seasonal ingredients. And, you know, the DC, the East Coast, doesn't have as many seasonal ingredients as, like, California, for example. So you have to be super creative. And I feel that I don't do too much to an ingredient. I just showcase that. And that's mm-hmm. learning how to cook like this. And then I grew up eating outdoors with the fire, grilling. My mom had a wood fire oven. And, you know, everything we do is with the wood fire. So it's that I bring back. And then there's not, I'll say that Call Your Mother, it's like, it's not traditional. It's not like what you find in all the bagel places in New York. You'll just find whatever we like to eat, sort of like the Argentinian way. Just eat whatever you have.
You gave an interview a little while ago about your perfect day in Washington, D.C. And one of the things that you said really struck me. And I did one of those things where, like, I put my palms up and looked around. I was like, yes, yes. You basically mentioned I would have just coffee. Because whatever happened to just coffee? All of these places that want to put 9 shots of this and 14 flavor scoops of that and skinny it and whip it and foam it and all these other kind of things. Just coffee. And you mentioned the simplicity of ingredients being showcased. And I think there's kind of a return to that when it comes to food. We forgot that pepper is an amazing ingredient. We forgot that salt does a miracle's worth of good. And that simplicity of just coffee, coffee's wonderful. It's one of the great commodities ever invented by human beings. I feel that, I think, again, at Timber and both Timber and Call Your Mother, I think that simplicity of ingredients and that philosophy has shined through everything that you guys have done to this point. And I wonder about that influence and that sort of desire to remember, hey, these things, even though they're simple, can still be great.
Yeah, it's all my philosophy is that. And the perfect example, now that you like steaks and parrilla and Argentinian food, when we cook asados, that is the grilling, the meat only has salt. That's mm-hmm. it. We don't put pepper. We don't put sauces. We don't have nothing. And it's just like the meat is so good that you want to showcase that. And that's what we do here too, with the coffee, with the bagels, with the toppings and the rest.
You guys have a unique structure in terms of how you deal with employees, and you guys have survived this pandemic and come out, I think, better than so many other businesses. But can you talk about the structure that you guys have at Call Your Mother? I found that really interesting as well. Your philosophy about, you know, treating back of house, front of the house, and kind of everything in between in a similar way. I think that's a wonderful thing that you guys do.
Yeah, and again, I have to give a lot of credit to this to Andrew. Andrew doesn't come from the restaurant industry. He always had like jobs in office. And, you know, to him, didn't make sense that, you know, that a restaurant wouldn't offer health insurance or pay vacation or, you know, all the benefits that you outside the restaurant industry, you 100% have. So he comes from that background. And I come from the kitchen. Working in Argentina, working here, I was like, why is the front of the house staff making $500 in tips? And I'm like, here working as much as them, and I'm making $7 an hour. This was when I was living in New York. Uh-huh. So like that didn't seem fair. I was like, we all work equally. Like this has to, pay has to be represented the same for everybody. So between Andrew and me, we were like, let's make it even for everybody. Like there's no distinction. So that was the first thing we did. And then, you know, I was given a lot of opportunities coming to the US and coming to DC. There's a lot of tools. There's a lot of people that I met along the way that, like, you know, helped me be where I am today. And I have to give back. And like, we always have to be giving back. That's we have a responsibility as business owner. It's not about us anymore and our dream of doing something. Like if it was up to me, I will be like, my dream was not to work. I told you, I wanted to travel the world and maybe work in a cute bakery. I mean, I still would love to do that. Like go to France and like make baguettes. Like that's one of my dreams, but like, it's not about me anymore. It's about like creating job opportunities, making the employees that work for us from day one that we hire them. We say like, hey, we're family. So like, if you're saying we're family, you have to act like one and create opportunities. And if you're growing, they have to grow. So that's pretty much all the philosophy that we have is keep growing now so we can keep creating opportunities. And after this whole year that a lot of people lost jobs and everything, is like we as owners have way more responsibility to bring all this back to what it was.
Again, I love that so much. And it sounds so natural and intuitive when you say it. I wonder why that's not more commonplace. Do you feel like that's going to start to change where more and more folks have that kind of philosophy? Because it's obviously served you guys well. It's not just one location. You're opening, you're expanding when everyone else is, you know, kind of barely scraping by. Do you think that's something that's going to catch on and maybe change in this industry?
I think it will. I have a lot of faith that it will. I think this past year, a lot of people had to adapt and like find other ways to like making everything work. And like maybe those ways are better than before. So I think people are going to take advantage of that and make it better. And yes, I have a lot of faith that this is going to get way, way better than it was.
You mentioned your training as well. I mean, it's elite. And again, you've even been modest about it. The scholarship that you won to CIA and everything else. There is, I feel like always with chefs and the like, there's always this glamour and romanticism associated with the finest of the fine, you know, where like the tiny petite one quail egg near this, you know, 17-day roasted beef or whatever. And it's the fine dining that gets the glamour and the stars and the back padding, et cetera. And you've chosen something that's accessible to pudgy rubes like me. I admire that. Do you regret ever not sort of sticking to that fine dining route and you know, getting down in the muck with the regular folk like myself? Or is it something you don't even miss?
So saying yes to Andrew that day that he offered me the job at Timber, well, I mean, first I say no. I regret saying no. Saying yes. I mean, maybe I don't regret it, because if I say yes too easily, maybe he wouldn't have given me equity right away and wouldn't have become partners. So I think everything happens for a reason. So I'm so happy how everything went. But that was the best decision I ever made. I going to culinary school in Argentina, I was only 17. You're learning all the French techniques. The chefs are talking about the most famous chefs in the world and the best restaurants, the Michelin star. Everything is so small, meticulous, like everything has, it's perfect. And then, you know, like after hearing that every day, then I come here, I go to the CIA. That's every day in your head. I was like, you know, I was always competitive. I always want to be the best. I sort of like wanted to be famous when I was a kid. So I was like, I want to be a famous chef, like all these fancy chefs.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I was very unhappy. I was like, this is not fun. You know, like it was being at the CIA, I sort of like lost the connection with food. I lost the fun about food. And it was that. It was everybody was so competitive to like be the next person or get the best job, or, you know, like you have to apply for an internship. If you don't get an internship in a good place, and like, you know, all that pressure. And then when I graduated from the CIA, I moved back to Argentina. I went back to work at my parents' camp. They had a summer camp by the river where I told you my mother used to have a wood fire oven. And, you know, I was making breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I didn't have a kitchen. I had like a grill. So everything was done in the oven and there. And I sort of like got connected again to that. But then I was like, you know, this is not, why did I do, oh, this actually, this was my dad in the back of my head. Why do you go to culinary school for 5 years to all these different schools to like go do pizza and like go work in the camp? So I was like, yeah, he's right. Like, why did I do all that for? But you know, when I met Andrew working at Timber, he is the one that brought like the passion for food again. Because, you know, food is, I want to make food that people can enjoy all the time, not only in a special occasion. And, you know, and like usually that special occasion is very formal and you have to dress up and, you know, you feel that you have to act different way. At least me, if I go to a fine dining restaurant, I'm like, you know, so well behaved. And I don't want to do that. I want to have fun. I want to blast the music. I want to listen to reggaeton and eating a pizza. That's, yeah, I never regret not going to fine dining way.
I love it. A couple more for you here, Danny, before I let you go. What's next for you guys? And do you need a recipe food taster? I'm available.
We always need a recipe tester. So yes, let me know when you're around. And, you know, I'm working on the next spring menu. And, you know, I need people with experience like you. You went everywhere in New York. So I want to know, again, like what a good pastrami sandwich is.
I love it. I asked this of all my guests. So I've got a pretty good idea, but I'd love to hear it from you. Give me a career highlight. Give me a moment where you felt like you were on top of the world as someone that's now undoubtedly successful. Also, give me a low moment. Give me a, what the hell have I done? What decisions have I made that led me here? So give me a high and a low, Danny, over the course of your remarkable career.
It was my first year at Timber. We only had the mobile wood fired oven. It was the first catering that I was in charge of. It was in the middle of nowhere. I think it was West Virginia, like 3 hours from here. Andrew wasn't there. Chris, my other partner, wasn't there. I was fully in charge. And the oven wasn't heat, like you have to heat up the oven every single day to cook pizzas, but it was that spring that rained every single day. Oh. So I got to the catering place and I couldn't get the oven started. And, you know, I spent like hours stressing about it. And like, I couldn't do it. It was a wedding for 150 people. And I had to order pizza from the local pizza place around there.
Oh my gosh.
And get it delivered. So even though the pizza was amazing, because it was like, you know, like this big pies that, I don't know, Papa John's style. It was great.
I promised you pizza. I delivered pizza. Don't ask any questions. Amazing.
You know, amazing. Like that. That was like, this is when you asked me low moment. I think that's what came to my head.
That'll do it. That qualifies. Sure.
Yeah. It was awful. And I had to call Andrew and say like, I'm sorry, you had to refund these people. And, you know, we lost a lot of money and I think I lost a lot of trust for a little bit, but then I got back on my feet.
I love it. And give me a highlight. You can't get out of that.
I feel like I talk about Andrew a lot today. I'm like fully in love these days, but like meeting him.
Yeah.
And I'm working with him. It's just been like the best. Like you asked me, like, is it good to work with your husband? And I'm like, yeah, it's like we understand each other and it's the best part that you need that support. And we have so many employees that are so awesome. And then having somebody to talk to about constantly about like what you're doing right or what you're doing wrong is the best thing that you can ever have. Because I'm not alone. I'm not making all these decisions by myself.
Yeah, I figured a career highlight might be having, you know, met your husband through all your endeavors. That, I think that would certainly qualify. On behalf of me and all the Call Your Mother patrons and Timber Pizza as well, please give him a very passionate hug and a kiss from all of us. Thank you to you both. Danny, you're interesting as hell. Thanks so much for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. It's been very, very fun. Thank you so much.
Thank you to my guest, Danny Marrera, Call Your Mother Deli, Timber Pizza, and to her husband as well, if you're checking this out. Andrew, you rock, dude. High five in the air for you two as well, sir. Here's what's weird about me. There's a lot that's weird about me. If you've checked out the show at all, you've probably deduced that by this point. I am really weird. And I'm going to sound like a horse's ass for a second, but I'm just talking. All right. We're all fine. I do sports radio as my gig, right? So, you know, I interviewed Cy Young winners and Hall of Famers and, you know, guys from my youth that I admired greatly. And I've kind of gotten over the starstruck sort of thing that comes with that a lot of times. Like I remember once I was doing shows with a guy named LeVar Arrington, who played for the Washington football team, but then Washington Redskins, and was a Pro Bowler, was a superstar, just a guy that I loved, right? And after the first couple times of doing radio shows with him, you go, oh, yeah, it's a person. We got to do the show, right? If you told my like teenage self or like my 20-year-old self that was going to happen, I would have had a conniption, right? I would have fallen over. So I don't have that starstruck thing as much anymore when it comes to pro athletes. I get it in different ways now. I get it with somebody like Danny. And I'm sure I came across as like the most annoying, obnoxious, irritating fanboy. I'm doing the Chris Farley, you remember when you made that bagel? It was awesome. It tastes like the bagels that I ate another time. Like, I'm sure that's like not that great of an interview style. And I apologize for that, but I can't help it. I admire her story so much where she basically said, I'm just going on an adventure. I'm going to come to a place where I don't, imagine this for yourself, where I don't speak the language and I'm going to figure something out when I get there. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the stones? Can you imagine the chutzpah, whatever phrase you want to use to describe it. It's an amazing thing. And she's taking care of these kids and figures it all out as she goes, learns the language incredibly well. And next thing you know, is at some of the elite culinary institutions, not just here, but in the world, and figures out a path for herself, meets the love of her life as she's embarking on this amazing adventure. I just think it's so cool. It's like a movie, honestly. That's what it feels like, where, you know what, I just picked up and left and I tried to figure it out. And then it's 95 minutes and, you know, there's a chase scene where she might be leaving, but then the guy comes on a motor scooter and they hug and kiss at the airport because he got through security somehow. And it's all good, right? And there's nice romantic music playing. Maybe it's Sting. Upon the fields of gold. You get my point. But it's beautiful. It's an amazing story. And the places that they've made, Timber Pizza and Call Your Mother, are wildly successful and excellent. Absolutely excellent. And I love that she's down here with us. She's down here with us, the regular unwashed masses, the peasants. Not the I'm not the $1,000 dinner, not the tiny bit of duck next to a piece of watercress next to something you can't pronounce that leaves you hungry afterwards. She's down here with us with the accessible, the regular food for regular folks. You could pick it up on your way to work. You could pick it up special on a weekend. You could do whatever the hell you want. Coffee, bagels, regular stuff for regular folks. Taking the fine dining experience, where usually it's a glamour exercise, right? It's an exercise in vanity to explore certain things and have fancy food critics laud you with all sorts of highfalutin praise. But what about that's accessible to regular people? What about that is normal, right? If you've got a commute, a mortgage, and all the regular things that we all struggle and deal with. It's cool. You do it once a year. You went to some fancy restaurant for your birthday or for an anniversary or something like that. Nothing wrong with those places, by the way. I love a good fine dining experience. But the day-to-day, she's down here with us. I think that is so awesome and admirable. And again, just a couple other of her answers to pull out of there. Just the intuitive way that she explained it, the way they treat their employees. And the responsibility that you can clearly tell they feel like they have to those folks, to the community at large, to, you know, they've been lucky, as she said, and they're able to keep people working. And that's a really good thing. And kind of the structure of it, right? It's never made sense to me. Certain building blocks of the restaurant industry, how hard certain folks work and how we sort of treat those different jobs kind of in this sphere. And they treat everybody incredibly well. And that's kind of the baseline. That's what they do at Call Your Mother Deli, which is really, really neat. And you could tell with Timber Pizza, that, you know, Andrew's kind of original brainchild, and then Call Your Mother there again. They do this kind of rock star fun thing. Like, there's certain companies that give off that vibe, right? And I'm probably gonna end up insulting them when I say this, but I'm telling you, I love going to Trader Joe's as my grocery store. There are other grocery stores that are wonderful. I think Wegmans is great, and Whole Foods, and there's a Safeway by me that's perfectly good, and I'm not knocking anybody else down. But I'm telling you, there's something about going to Trader Joe's. Everybody's in a good mood. Everybody there seems happy, and they're so helpful, and they're efficient, and they really like, seems like they like dealing with you. I wouldn't like dealing with me and like my loud kids. You know, like if I'm sitting in line and or you know, somebody's picking up a magazine or spiking a thing of bread or something like that, I wouldn't be that much fun to deal with, probably, as I'm sweating and tired and not that awesome, but they don't mind. And you got that same energy at Call Your Mother. It's like there's this joy in it, and there's this that feeling of welcome. It's your community spot. They're right there, and they'll be there for you whenever you want it. And that's a really, really neat thing. And they've kind of fostered that, and they deserve a ton of credit for that. But yeah, I really enjoyed that chat. That was a cool conversation for me to have, and I appreciate Danny Marrera of Call Your Mother Deli and Tipper Pizza Company for taking the time to chat with me. And appreciate all of you guys for listening to it. And again, I apologize. I over-fanboyed. I know what I did. I just love carbohydrates so much, and I love what they do. CallYourMotherDeli.com. Follow them on socials. They kick butt. Tell them that you heard Danny with me. That would be really, really cool, just to let them know that this wasn't all in vain. So that would be most appreciated of you guys. And again, thanks to my producer, Andrew Russell. And thanks to all you guys for checking us out. Plenty more good episodes coming up. They're in the hopper. I'm telling you, I got one of the most handsome dudes I've ever met in my life. I've got a record producer coming up. Whole bunch of other cool things in the queue for you. But till next time, @interest_pod on Twitter. You seem interesting on Instagram. Hit us up. Give us a follow. Let us know what you want to hear. Patreon.com/FunnyDanny as well. You want to be part of the good shit interesting. Thanks so much, guys. Until next time, you seem interesting.